Welcome to the Accenture MIT podcast series. Here's Daniel Jackson, professor of computer science at MIT.
We all have applications that we use daily. Some of them we like, some of them we just tolerate, and a few of them we really love. For me, one of the applications in this last category is Adobe Lightroom. Now, I'll readily admit that one of the reasons I like Lightroom so much is that I use it for a hobby and not for my work, so I'm always in a good mood when I'm using it. But even if I try and put aside my passion for photography, I have to say that Lightroom is a really fantastic piece of software by any measure. Because I was so impressed by Lightroom, I got in touch with its senior designers and project leads, and I had a long discussion with them about the philosophy behind Lightroom's design. I thought I'd share some of these ideas in a podcast, since they turn out to be very relevant and not tied to photography at all, and they point, I think, to the future of many other applications. To begin, I'd better tell you a bit about Lightroom in case you're not familiar with it. Lightroom is an application for photographic workflow, handling all the main tasks from uploading photos from a camera, through cataloging and editing, to generating output in the form of websites, slideshows, or prints. Apple's Aperture is Lightroom's main competitor, but there are other applications in this area too, notably Bibble Pro, and some applications made by camera companies that support the particular RAW files of their cameras, such as Canon's DPP and Phase One's Capture One. Google's Picasa is in this group too, but it's not used by serious photographers because it doesn't support editing of RAW files. Apple's Aperture was really the first workflow application to attract a lot of attention, and it was the release of Aperture that prompted Adobe into creating Lightroom. At the start, Lightroom was primarily a tool just for cataloging and organizing images, and users expected to do any serious editing in Photoshop. But now things are very different. Lightroom has a very powerful suite of editing facilities, which, although they don't include all the capabilities of Photoshop, are arguably much better, since they're so much easier to use. The irony of Photoshop, by the way, is that despite the name, Photoshop isn't really designed for photographers. It's a general-purpose tool for editing rasterized images, and its basic design isn't particularly oriented towards photography. Photoshop development began in 1987, and it wasn't until 20 years later, with the release of version CS3 in 2007, that Photoshop included a function for converting a color image to black and white. Until that point, people came up with the most extraordinary and complex sequences of actions to do this in an optimal way. As another example, in Photoshop, there were all kinds of commands, quite complex ones, for cropping and rotating images. Lightroom, in contrast, provided a simple unified feature that allowed you to resize, crop, and rotate in a much more fluid and intuitive way. In short, Photoshop provides all the low-level functions you need for photo editing, but only recently has it started organizing them into more usable, high-level dialogues. Lightroom has been a huge success for Adobe. When Aperture was released, Apple sold it for $500 a copy. This January, they dropped the price in their App Store to only $80 a copy. Adobe, on the other hand, has been able to increase the price of Lightroom from $200 to $300. Back in 2009, Adobe claimed that their market share was 6 times Apple's, and my guess is that that ratio has increased. Part of this is that Lightroom, unlike Aperture, is cross-platform, running on both Macintosh and Windows. But Lightroom has a market share almost 4 times larger on Macs alone, so that's surely not the main issue. Based on my discussion with Lightroom's designers, and my own speculations and opinions, I've come up with 8 things that I believe are significant about Lightroom. 4 of them are factors that I think might explain in large part why Lightroom has been so successful, and the other 4 are respects in which I believe Lightroom is illustrating new trends in software engineering that will turn out to be widely copied. I'll discuss the first 4 in this podcast, and the remaining 4 in a subsequent one. So here we go. In the first category, reasons for Lightroom's success, number 1 is how the Lightroom team really listened to the customer. Mark Hamburg, who was the first Photoshop developer at Adobe and became the project lead and then later the architect of Lightroom, has an interesting philosophy on user testing. Users, he said, should be concrete people and not abstractions. It's not good enough, in his opinion, to imagine what your users want, or to get testers to go through use cases, or even to find a bunch of real users to try out some features. He says you need to find at least one real live person who will be a totally dedicated user, who will work with and evaluate every feature and give you detailed feedback and opinions. And then you need to make that person happy by actually taking their criticism seriously. Of course, this is a dangerous strategy because you risk tailoring the application to one person's whims, so you have to pick that person really carefully. In tandem to doing this, Adobe ran a really impressive beta testing program and created a very energetic and enthusiastic beta community. This is not so easy to do and takes a lot of work, since it means the engineers building the product have to spend a lot of time listening to and talking to users. Reason number two is that the Lightroom team managed to operate like a small startup, even though they were embedded in a large corporation. Apparently, they needed to persuade senior management to give them the leeway to do this, but it paid huge dividends for Adobe in the long run. This allowed them to follow a lightweight and agile development process using Scrum meetings and sprints, and to delay the release of the product until the moment at which they felt it was really ready. One symptom of this startup mentality is that they managed to persuade Adobe to release the product without licensing protection, so that you didn't even need to enter a serial number to register it. Now, I don't know how many copies were stolen as a result of this, but my guess is that the loss is more than compensated by the goodwill that this creates amongst users. Along with thousands of other users, I've cursed Adobe when bugs in the licensing feature of their Creative Suite software have prevented me from using software that I paid good money for. In one of their more embarrassing episodes, for many months, it wasn't possible for two users to use the same Creative Suite instance even on a single computer. So, for example, if one family member was editing a photo with Photoshop, and then the machine was switched to another family member designing a poster with InDesign, the license server actually crashed, and you had to go through a painful patching sequence to get things working again. From Adobe's perspective, the licensing functionality was a shared asset that could be taken advantage of by all their products. But for users, it meant that however good the product was, it was reduced to the level of the licensing module and its bugs and annoyances. Reason number three for Lightroom's success: great user interface design. Working closely with real users gave the Lightroom team the confidence to try out some ideas that were quite radical. At the time of Lightroom's invention, most applications were organized as an editing tool with a bunch of features surrounding the basic editing, like moons orbiting around a planet. These other features would appear and disappear in special dialog boxes as you used them, features for importing and exporting data, for example, and for printing. Lightroom has a completely different organization. The main features are implemented as what are called modules, each of which has its own panel as if it were an application in its own right. When you use Lightroom, you typically move from module to module, starting, for example, in the library module for importing and organizing images, then moving into the develop module to edit them, then using the print module to print photos out, or the web module to create a website, or the slideshow module to create a slideshow, and so on. This design allows each of the modules to take up the whole window on the screen so that the application can provide much richer functionality. Arguably, this was a natural step given existing trends. In Photoshop, different features were getting more and more complex and the desktop was becoming a mass of small palettes. Even the printing dialog box had become a complex tool with the ability to crop and adjust margins using a mouse on a visual preview. The Lightroom team were particularly influenced by Photoshop's feature for generating web versions of images, which when invoked took over the whole desktop, much like a Lightroom module. Reason number four, thinking about requirements in terms of the entire user experience from beginning to end. Donald Norman, in his new book, Living with Complexity, argues that designers need to think about software as a service and not in terms of individual functions. This is why, he says, Apple was so successful with the iPod. It wasn't just that the iPod itself was a cool device. They understood that they had to design the entire experience, from buying the iPod to opening the packaging to connecting it to a computer and then to the buying and downloading of songs. This insight is perhaps the key respect in which Lightroom differs from Photoshop. My favorite example of this is that Photoshop is designed for editing and printing single images, even though all photographers work on multiple images at a time. Yes, you can create batch actions to apply edits to all the files in a folder, for example, and there are special automation features for creating prints that contain multiple images. But these all seem to have been developed as afterthoughts, so they tend to be limited and very hard to use, quite inflexible. In Lightroom, on the other hand, it's easy to take an edit that you created for one image and apply it to 100 others in your catalogue, and to print out contact sheets with many images and so on. Another symptom of this attitude is that the application now handles features that users were previously expected to do using the operating system, such as naming files and moving them around on disk. Now, you might think that doing file naming inside the application just replicates operating system functionality and is a failure of separation of concerns. But it's not true, since file naming has very domain-specific needs in this kind of application. So Lightroom lets you name files using their capture dates or locations or titles, for example. So those are the four reasons, in my opinion, that Lightroom has been such a success. 1, engaging with the customer. 2, behaving like a startup. 3, great user interface design. And 4, thinking about the application as a service rather than a point function. In my next podcast, I'll talk about 4 other remarkable features of Lightroom, in which it represents, I believe, a harbinger of things to come in software design. And in case you think I'm just a cheerleader for Adobe, I'll tell you at least one thing about Lightroom that I really don't like.
Copyright 2010, Daniel Jackson. Music copyright 2010, Chris Bremer from pianosociety.com.